Hi everyone, welcome to Stump the Guru podcast with your host, Ari Galpa, the world's number one authority on trust-based selling and the creator of Unlock the Game. This monthly podcast will bring you guests from virtually every industry, unrehearsed, to try and stump Ari with their most difficult sales challenges. This podcast is for business owners, financial advisors, entrepreneurs, and sales executives. The guests in this show have only one goal in mind, to stump Ari. And Ari has one goal in mind, to overturn the notion of selling as we know it today by building trust between buyers and sellers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Stump the Guru Show. My name is Ari Galper, and we focus on trust-based selling. Been in this for close to 25 years now. This is our monthly show, where without a net, people jump on live, ask me their toughest sales question, and I provide them with some insights from a different perspective. So if you're out there online around the world, just go to stumptheguru.com right now, click that link, you'll be in the green room, and if we have some room next 20 minutes, we'll slot you in, and I can hopefully solve your problem. That's hopefully the goal. Today's theme is about the idea of shifting from solution-centric thinking to problem-centric thinking. Most people who sell advisors, experts, they have what I call the curse of mastery, affectionately, I say. I mean, they know their stuff so well that when they hear the problem they can solve, their instinct is to want to solve it. They process it in their mind as they're hearing the prospect describe their issue. And they're almost taking ownership of the problem by hearing it, and automatically their system tries to solve it. And the problem with that is when you start trying to solve someone's problem prior to them trusting you, they feel you're not present with them. You're somewhere else. And that's an important string to break in the back of your mind, because if someone senses that you are not present with them, that you're already moving to the next step too quickly, it's over. You've lost trust with them. And it happens all the time. And I hear tons of sales calls all the time. I have experts play recordings for me and my coaching calls with them. And I hear all the time, and I can see them literally solving the problem in the back of their mind. And rather than attempting to unpack the problem, go behind it, what I call behind enemy lines, where you begin to help the person see what they can't see. That's how you really have the person feel that you care about them. So it's going to take some reframing of your thinking to let go of the notion that your job is to solve their problem on that initial conversation with them. Because like a doctor, when you go see a doctor, first thing they do is they diagnose your problem to a deep level, to the extent where they feel they understand it. You may go to the doctor, say to them, you know, my shoulder hurts, I have a sports injury. He'll go, great, but I'm not going to tell you that, assume that's your problem. We're going to go through an MRI machine, and I'm going to tell you what the problem is. MRI report comes back. Turns out there's a blood clot in his right calf. It's causing the shoulder problem. It's not the shoulder problem, injury from the sports event he had. So this is the same metaphor happens with your prospects and clients. They come to you and say, my problem is X. Turns out the problem is Y. So part of our model in the one call sale is having the right questions, what we call trust-based questions, to go down the iceberg to help unpack the person's issue that they themselves could not fully understand in their full context, by helping them see the impact of it using our iceberg metaphor, along with our mindset shift to more of a doctor-patient conversation, less of a discovery meeting where you get to know each other better and there's chemistry and they like you, you like each other. That's sales 101. That's like dead. If you're still doing that, those kind of behaviors where you're working able to rapport with them, free consulting, education, and kind of going sliding back and forth on your dialogue for a while with someone, unfortunately, you'll probably get at the end of that call or meeting, you'll probably hear, I'd like to think about it. Thank you so much. So that's the theme for today, problem-centric versus solution-centric. So we've got some time here. We're going to jump on to back of the room there and see who we have here. So Steve, who's in the wings, ask me a question today.
All righty, here we go. I got my blue and orange on for the Knicks, number 2 seed. So we're going to start off with Joe Hey, Joe, how are you? If you can let everybody know a little bit about you and your question for Ari, please.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, good evening, folks. Ari, Joe again here, how are you?
Good, Joe.
So I am a financial advisor, a CFP certified financial planner. And if it's possible, if you have time, I'm just going to ask you two questions. But the first one I have that I hear a lot from prospective clients is, I already have a financial advisor. I already have a financial planner. And I was saying things, of course, like, you know, well, you know, are they a CFP? Do you know, like, and trust them? You know, when's the last time he or she reached out to you? And I think all those approaches are just a little bit harsh. So wanted to see if I could stump you with this one.
Well, I mean, if someone says that to you, if someone said that to me, I've already got a sales coach. I'd say, then why are you here? I already have an advisor. Then why don't I just stay with them?
Sure. What about from the perspective of you're prospecting them, you know, you're lead generating, filling up the pipeline, that sort of thing.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. That's different. So I thought you were about inbound. So you're talking about outbound, and tell me about what you're saying to them prior to that response. What's your approach? What are you saying now?
So I do planning where I get a lot of financial planning, where I get a lot of referrals from, like, I'm in a bank setting. So a lot of, you know, introductions from other bankers, you know, referrals, that sort of thing. Yeah. So, and I get a ton of, I already have a financial planner. I might even hear I have two of them.
Right. But what are you saying prior to that response? What's your approach on the phone? How are you introducing? What are you saying? What's your approach?
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's usually not over the phone. Most of it is face-to-face, you know, when folks are walking in to conduct their business. It's sure. more of a face-to-face setting, you know, hi, I'm Joe. I do the financial planning here, whatever have you, you know, work with investments, et cetera. And then they're
all
saying,
all right, stop right there. So what you're doing there is describing to them what they already have. So for them, they're like, so what? What you have to do is reframe it. Are you being introduced by someone, like, physically bringing you over to them, or how is that happening?
Typically, yes. Or sometimes it's just striking up a random conversation with someone, maybe sitting there, whatnot.
So rather than you saying, I'm a financial, you know, what you can say is this. I'm the expert here in the bank that helps our clients with identifying certain issues in their financial situation that they may be unaware of that could help them tremendously, whether it be overpaying on taxes or having a low return on their investments. But we do a complimentary diagnostic that we can do if you'll be open to it, to see if we can find something in your situation that maybe you may be unaware of. Would you be open to that? See, that you yourself are unaware of, nothing to do with the current advisor. Forget that. Just ignore all that. But just focus on saying that there might be something they themselves are unaware of. Would they be open to having you do a consultation with them to see if there's something you can find? It's like a doctor doing an analysis and diagnosis to find, trying to find a problem.
Got it. Excellent. Do we have a sec for another one?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
One of my top clients left about a month ago. Kind of did a little bit of an exit interview to try to learn, you know, what I could do better next time, sort of thing. Client said basically, you know, there was this issue that came up where I didn't get an answer fast enough that I wanted to get from you. You know, I didn't want to kind of jump on this person and say, well, what is XYZ Financial going to do for you that I couldn't do for you? I guess, do you have any advice as far as, you know, exit interviewing people and learning from your own mistakes,
well,
I guess?
First thing I do is fall on your sword and say, I want to first apologize. Because clearly something that I have done in our process has not made you feel comfortable staying with us long term. And I apologize for that up front. I truly am sorry about that. You have to first acknowledge that you're the problem.
Right.
Whether you are or not, I don't know if you are. Maybe you aren't, but you have to have the humility to say, maybe it was me.
Okay.
you start there, they're more willing to tell you the truth. Because then you can say, I'm just, if you'd be open to it, I would love some feedback on how I can improve. Should we eventually at some point in the future connect again, just so I can improve my current clients? Would you be open to sharing some feedback around that? I can't imagine them saying no. I think most people will say to you, well, it's X. It was this. It wasn't you, Joe. It was that color of my statement was blue versus green. Who knows? You don't know what the reason is. That's why you have to create an environment where they're comfortable telling you the truth.
Okay. Makes sense.
So it feels kind of weird at first to sort of like apologize because you didn't do anything wrong. You did your job.
Right.
You think you did. But you don't know that because there might be something like you didn't call them fast enough that you weren't aware of that caused them to leave. So that's why you're better off just saying, hey, it was probably me.
Excellent. Perfect. Thank you.
All right, Joe. Take care.
Appreciate it.
All right. We are here with the Stump the Guru Show. We are live right now. We have listeners all over the world who listen to this podcast because this gets converted to a podcast recording that people listen to through Apple and Spotify and all your favorite channels. So please give us a 5 stars. If you're in there listening, would be great. If you're enjoying this show, of course, always come back. You can join and ask us a question too. So Steve, who else do we have back there?
All righty. Up next, I'm going to bring on Taylor Stewart. Hey, Taylor, how are you? I saw you in the chat there posting, man, so I got you. If you could let everybody know who you are, a little bit about yourself and your business, and your question for Ari, please.
Hi, everyone. I'm Taylor Stewart. I am a licensed architect, and I do work all over the United States. And I'm also the author of the best-selling book, Conscious Home Design. And so that's sort of my niche is people who are living intentionally. They have goals, and they're trying, you know, and we spend so much time at home, and it can really shape us. You know, it can either hinder our progress or it can actually put the wind at our back and help us, lift us into our day. And so we, you know, can, with more ease and grace, you know, accomplish, you know, our lifestyle, our vision for ourselves. So one of the problems that's really stumped me, you know, architects is, are, you know, have, are horrendously notorious bad marketers, right? Great at buildings, bad at communicating. And one of the challenges, one of the reasons for that is, you know, we're commonly known as the lowest paid profession. You know, doctors basically save your life. Lawyers keep you out of jail or keep you from getting sued or, you know, save your money. But architects, you know, like we are seen as a luxury item. Right, because anyone can go buy a builder-made home, or you can go online and buy some cheap floor plans for a couple grand, and hire someone to put them up for you. So the value of it, you know, it's like most people buy their clothes off the rack; they don't get them custom fit or tailor-made, right? And so architects are seen as this sort of higher echelon thing, and so a lot of the people that are in that sort of social class or financial class, they're looking for maybe a status symbol. You know, I've arrived. They want something fancy. They're looking for something, you know, like, you know, to let people know, you know, I made it kind of thing. And my niche is not really that. You know, I really want to work with people who are really trying to just self-actualize, you know, like Maslow's hierarchy of human needs pyramid. You know, we don't just want beautiful shelter. I see so many talented designers put out like magazine stuff. I call it, eye candy. And I see all these, the design magazines are full, and Instagram and everywhere is full of just these beautiful, such incredible spaces. I look at it and I think, man, I'd hate to live there. I try to make a sandwich in that kitchen. It's 30 feet away between the stove and the sink. You know, it's like you want to get out.
So what's the challenge you have that you're trying to solve?
How to communicate value in a way that has urgency and also differentiates from that in a simple way. You know, like the USP, doctors save your life, lawyers keep you out of jail, architects, you know, what do?
You're talking about how to position yourself essentially to your ideal client, and that stems from your ability to articulate their problem, to articulate what the trigger is that would cause them to want to hire someone like you. So do you have a sense of what that gap is that they would describe as to what would trigger them to want to hire someone like you?
Well, there are many things, I suppose. I mean, they're little things. They don't have that kind of urgency. I mean, it can be, there's not enough room for, our space doesn't work. You know, the TV room, the kids' bedroom is right next to the TV room. And so when they go to bed and we stay up later and watch, you know, television, the sound goes to the wall and keeps them up at night. Or, you know, there's friction points, you know.
I understand. So I hear you. So what you need to do is go one step behind that and help them see that they actually have the problem. They actually see the friction points because maybe they live in the house such a long time, they've accepted it as it is, right? So maybe what you need to do is go back a step and go, can you create your ideal home inside your current home? Can you reimagine your current space? Because that's what you guys are really good at doing, is helping see space in a different way, right? Because if you're living in your own space, all you see is these walls and the same thing every time. It's human nature to accept what you're in. Right. You're saying what you see right now can be reimagined in a different way. Even if you can get to the point where you can find some potential clients and do a quick mock-up or reimagination graphic of a new look inside their home by taking a wall down with some software program and say, hey, we could do this. Like, I'll give you a quick example. This might help a little bit. Different industry. I had a gentleman a while back who does website development. And he's having trouble getting in front of his clients who are CEOs of big companies. And I said, what are you doing? I'm emailing them what I do. I said, take a picture of their website, print it, then redesign it and print that as you see it and mail that in the mail so they can see now and what's possible. And he had a yellow sticky note, said, I went ahead, did this for you. Give me a call back. You'd like some more. And they call him back. It's the same concept with you. You got to help people see what's possible. Is that helpful?
Sure. Thanks. Thanks, Ari.
All right. Take care. All right. So we are back to Stump the Guru Show and all very interesting scenarios. And I think there's a theme that cuts across a lot of this material, which is let's think from the prospect's point of view, not from our point of view. We'll make them be willing to make a change, willing to tell the truth, and willing to connect with you. And that's really the work that we do, the body of our work, which is the opposite of typical sales programs, which are all about close a sale, put pressure, you know, chase somebody. And those notions are very archaic, unfortunately, in a commoditized world. All right. So anyone left out there, Steve?
All righty. I've got one more in here. I'm going to bring on Sam. Sam Toratone, I know you, my friend. So if you can tell the people that don't know you a little bit about yourself and your question for Ari, please.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Ari. Yeah, look, business coaching, trust-based selling, helping people with a lot of the things around what we talk about. Well, the question I have is just curious about that first gentleman, Joe. It's along those same lines. What advice would you give to a financial advisor that deals with very high-end clients? They service them in multitude of areas. They seem like they're the one-stop shop for how do these high-end families preserve their wealth, keep their legacy so they don't lose it internally within their family. A lot of these guys might mix socially and they have a lot of these gatherings where they get together. How would they interact with someone socially and get it from the social to the business element without pitching all the things they do and how they do it? Just that transition point, Ari. I think that's probably pretty relevant for a lot of those guys.
Yeah, it's very sensitive because that industry has been taught socialize first, business second. Yep. It's been there since the 1980s. That started with the know, like, and trust model. They got to know you first, like you. If they like you, hopefully they'll work with you. But the problem is it's hard to bridge from social to business if you're too social. It gets harder. You know, I had one gentleman I spoke with last week who had been having lunch with this very wealthy person, and they're having so many lunches now they're friends and he can't bridge over. So exactly. You got to be careful with that. So the key with this is to choose your languaging carefully to bridge over to see if they'd be open to having you do a diagnostic review of their situation. Now, the way you move towards that direction is certain phrases you can use like this. Are you aware of? Have you thought about? Have you considered? And give them some insights around things you have seen in your work from others similar to them, of things that you discovered that these your clients are unaware of. And you can say to them, have you ever thought about the idea of whether you're overpaying your taxes? Have you considered this? That's not saying, come to my office. You're giving them some help by using those phrases. So I would just plug those phrases in where appropriate and share some insights that you're discovering through your work that might help them, if that makes sense. So the key phrases again are, have you thought about, have you considered, are you aware of? It's like you're helping the person. And then from that, that could lead to, happy to have sit down with you. We can go through your situation and go from there.
Okay. All right. No, I like that. So basically what you're saying is expose what they don't know now and give them some examples of what they might be missing out on or hadn't thought of.
From current clients now.
Yeah. Example.
Yeah. That way it's not about them. You're just sharing with them what you're learning. Right. They go, huh, I never thought about that. Interesting.
Yeah.
And you guys say, well, have you thought about that for yourself, John? Have you considered the idea that maybe you have too much money in cash, whatever it might be? That's how you bridge into their world.
Yeah. And obviously you don't want to spend too much time talking about it then. So you want to transition to let's get together. And
once they find that interesting and intriguing, then they start asking themselves, maybe you can help me with something. I would like to talk with you about my situation. So it's kind of a two-step process, but it's the bridging languaging I just provided you is what allows that to actually work.
Perfect. All right. I like that. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Sam. Good to see you again. Take care. And this brings us to the end of our show today with the Stump the Guru Show. And just some quick announcements. Our newest book is now live, Trust in a Split Second. You can grab a copy at unlockthegame.com. We're now releasing our new one coming out soon called Are You Chasing Ghosts, which will provide lots of insights about why leads do not convert. We have a few more in the works as well. So if you've not grabbed one of my books at all, there's six of them now available at unlockthegame.com. Grab a copy, and there might be an opportunity there to have a chat with us as well for a consultation, discuss your situation as well. We can kind of give you some insights on the spot to help you right away. Thanks for joining again, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
We hope you've enjoyed this month's segment of Stump the Guru and that you've discovered some new trust-based selling strategies that you can apply directly to your sales process. You can get access to Ari's Trust-Based Selling 60-Minute Masterclass at www.unlockthegame.com/video. And if you want to go one step further, you can order his latest book, Unlock the Sales Game, and get a free one-on-one sales growth consultation at www.unlockthegame.com. Before we say goodbye for now, if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to review this podcast. It's easy. Just scroll down to the bottom of Stump the Guru podcast within Apple Podcast until you reach ratings and reviews. Click one of the 5 stars under Tap to Rate to leave a rating. Thanks so much, and we'll see you on the next show.